Bezras Hashem Yisparech. Today's daf is Maseches Yud Zayin and Maseches Shabbos. We are now Bezras Hashem in the 79th daf in Shas. We are discussing the Yudches Gzeros, which was a meeting of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel in the attic of Hananiah, as described in the Mishnah Yigimel and Mabez, and we are listing off the 18. We begin another one, two lines from the bottom of Tezayin of the base. V'idach mahi, what's another example of the takanos and the gzeros of Hananiah? This not, we learned in the Mishnah in Olos and Perik Tezayin, kol ha-metaltel mivinas hatuma ba'ove hamardea. All metaltelin, not only a roof, could serve as a conduit of tuma of an oel. We know, the Torah Kedosha tells us in Parsha Schukas, that when you have a mace in a tent, everything inside the tent also becomes tameh for 7 days, and to be in av hatuma. The Mishnah tells us, "Kol ha-metaltel mivias hatuma ba'ove hamardea." Any metaltelin that are hovering over between a mace and other utensils can be a conduit for tuma, as the thickness of a mardea. A mardea is a stick that was used to guide animals, which is the third of a tefa. Rashi explains that min haTorah, the only chashivus of an oel is the size of a tefach. However, Chazal came along, and this is another one of the gzeiros, and said that even less than a tefach, one third, will also bring along a tumah. The Gemara in Brachos in Yud Tesamid Beis had told us that tefach for tumah is Allah al Moshe Misinai. Rabbi Tarfon exclaimed that this was a great error, and the case was in the Mishnah was entirely misunderstood. It was not a case in which they were introducing a gzeira that a tool less than the size of a tefach could serve as an oel. Amar Rabbi Tarfon ekapeach es bini. This is a very, very harsh expression. Literally, it means I will shorten the life of my son. In other words, I am in so much pain that the Torah has been distorted. Shezu halacha mikupeches, because this was a halacha that had been shortened and distorted and misunderstood. Sheshaba hashomea v'ta'a. There was someone who heard this discussion in the Beis Medrash and came to the wrong conclusion. Rather, what transpired, says Rabbi Tarfon, is the following. Ha'ikar, there was a farmer, he was walking, umardo al-ksefa, and his rod, his metal rod, which we said was a third of a tefach, was on his shoulder. V'iel tzido eches al hakever. It had passed over, the rod specifically, trespassed over the airspace of a kever. Timu also, mishum kelim hamehilim al hames. And the farmer became tameh because he had come in contact with the keli that had traveled over a mace. Rashi in the Ramaschal Sheshama HaShomea explains that Rabbi Tarfon says that the bottom line was misunderstood because Rabbi Tarfon had understood that someone who was under the mardea with the mace would become a av hatoma and tame for 7 days. However, that is not what was taught. Rather, the mardea itself that transposes over the grave becomes a avatuma. However, it doesn't serve the role of an ohel and thereby bring the tuma directly to the farmer and make him an avatuma himself, who'll be tame for 7 days. Rather, the farmer is considered as if he touched a keli that was mahil alames. A rishon tuma that touches a keli hamal alames is only tumeh for 1 day. The only time a person will become tumeh for 7 days and require hazah shlishi v'shvi is if he himself had contracted as an av hatuma. Hence, says Rabbi Tarfon, it was misunderstood. A small utensil cannot serve as an ohel. Amar Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva responded, Ani asakein. He responded to his Rabbi Tarfon, I will fix Shiyuhu divrei chachamim kayamim, that the words of the Tanoim that you said didn't make any mistake, make sense, should stand. Shiyuhu kol hametaltlin mevin es hatuma. And that is that all metaltlin have the ability to bring tuma. Al ha'odom shenoyse oisan ba'ove hamardeya. If a person is carrying a tool, so then in such a case, it will bring tuma upon them. Rashi Dibur HaMaschil Ani explains that here we're talking about a mardeya that has the circumference of a tefach, and for that reason, people will hear that he became tame when holding his mardeya will think that he became tame because of Oel, and therefore he is an avatuma, and therefore requires 7 days of tahara. If we are not machmir midrabanan, to say that even though it does not serve as an Oel, and even though the fellow is only tame for 1 day, people will think that someone who becomes tame through an Oel could have tahara by going to the mikvah and be tar by the next night. That's what the Mishnah meant when it said, "Kol metaltlin mevin es hatuma ba'ove hamardeya." V'al atzman b'chol shehein, and the mardeya itself, no matter what its size it is, it's considered tame, because something that's ma'il ala meis automatically is tame whatever its size. V'al shar dvar mukelim b'poseach tefach. But when it comes to other people and other utensils, if they are ma'il over a meis, the size of a tefach, then in such a case, all dine do raisa applies. The gzera was made particularly for the mardeya. V'amar Rabbi Yannai taught, U'mardeya she'amru, ein ba'avio tefach, v'yesh be'kefo tefach, v'gozro el kefo mishum avio. This year, midrabanum, we mentioned is that the mardeya is not have the width of a tefach. If it would, then it would be oel d'oraisa. However, it has a circumference of a tefach. And they made the gzera of the circumference lest it actually be the size of a tefach, and people make a mistake. The Gemara asked by Rabbi Tarfon, who did not accept this gzera, because Rabbi Tarfon explained, Ula Rabbi Tarfon d'amer kapeach ani esbini, who said that this gzera was not correct, and did not say that a mardeya would serve as an oel. Batzalu, then we don't have 18 gezeras, because you have to take this gezera away. Rabbi Tarfon did not accept it. Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, af benos kusim nidos, me'arisasam bo biyom gazru. Like we had mentioned at the end of yesterday's shiur, on Tezayin Amabez, there are some who say that there was a gezera of nida that was applied, just like a girl at any age, when she's a Jewish girl, can become a nida, so too kusim as well. Will be idach, and the other man domer, Svirale Kirebi Meir, who does not accept it, holds like Rebbe Meir. This refers back to the opinion that we had discussed yesterday on Tezayin Amabez. This is the opinion of Rebbe Meir that there was a gezera that was made that even Shocheach, someone who does not intend to gather Mayim Sheuvim in rain, nevertheless, Midrabanan, they were gozer on that Mayim Sheuvim. Because according to Rabbi Yossi, who disagrees with that, we say that the gzeira of the daughters of the Kusim applied. If that's so then we counted it twice. We counted it over here according to Rabbi Tarfon, as well as according to Rabbi Yossi. It must be that Rabbi Tarfon goes with Rabbi Meir, that does not need the case of Benos Kusim to count as one in place of Shocheach by Mayim Sheuvim, because Shocheach by Mayim Sheuvim is one gezera, and Rabbi Tarfon rejects the other gezera, but in that place he puts Benos Kusim. Rabbi Yossi already introduced the Takana Benos Kusim yesterday. Rabbi Tarfon does not need it because he goes like Rabbi Meir, but here Rabbi Tarfon needs to count the gezera Benos Kusim. V'idach, another one of the gezeras is Habotzer Lagas, someone who is mashing grapes to make wine. Shammai Omar Hochsher. Shammai says that the juice that oozes from the grapes are machshir the grapes and other things to be mekabel tuma. Hill amar lo hochshir. Hill says it doesn't work. We know that in Maseches Machshirin, in order for an object to be able to contract tuma, it needs to be hochshir al yedei hashiva mashkim. Question over here is, when it comes to these mashkim, it wasn't the intention for the individual to place the juices on those objects. The Torah says kiyutan, that it needs to be put on top of it. So Shammai made gzeira and said they are considered hukshar, and Hillel says not. Amalei Hillel Shammai mipnei ma botzrin b'tahara ve'ein moskin b'tahara. Hillel asked Shammai, why did you differentiate between when it comes to botzer, which is wine, and moskin, which is olives? When it comes to olives, we don't have this gezeira. Amalei Shammai responded in an unclear way, Im taknitani, if you're going to accept me, gozrei into mafa masika. I'll also say that lahasik zesim, pressing olives, is also machshir lekabel tuma. Nazu cherub bebeis hamedrash. A sword was placed in the Beis Medrash. Natsu cherev bebeis hamedrash. A sword was placed, and Amru, what was said was the following. The significance of the sword, maybe we will be masbir later on. Hanichnas yikanes, those who go in shall stay, vayoytse al yoytse. And whoever wants to go out can't go out. Va'oysa yoyim hayo hilal kofuf, v'yoyshev lifnei shamay kechod. And on that day, Hillel, in modesty, Rashi will explain, bent his head to Shammai, like a student, Vayekashel Yisrael, and the day was bad to Klal Yisrael, Kiyoyim Shenasa Bo HaEgel, like the day that the eagle was done. Rashi explains that it was bad because Hillel bowed to Shammai, even though he was the Nasi. V'gozer Shammai, and Shammai created the above gezeiros in the attic of Chananya. V'hillel lo kiblu mineyu, and Hillel did not accept them. V'asli talmidayu gozer v'kiblu mineyu, and the students then ultimately accepted it. Sam Sover points out that the Yerushalmi has a similar but different edition, which says that the Talmidei Beis Shammai stood outside and didn't allow the Talmidim of Hillel to leave. There's more to that Yerushalmi. Ayin Sham. The significance of what the Yerushalmi is saying and our Gemara is saying, explains the Chassam Sofer, about not letting the Talmidim of Hillel to leave and Hillel bowing himself to Shammai, is that there was a war of Torah that was going on in the attic of Chananya. And whoever was going to be swayed to the arguments would ultimately be considered the Talmud of that argument. The Chassam Sofer points out that in general, Hillel had more Talmidim than Shammai. Talmidim sheshimshu b'tayr lefnei Hillel hayim merubim mitalmidei Shammai. However, the Talmidim of Hillel felt that they were being overrun by the Talmidim of Shammai and wanted to leave so that their opinion would not be counted as if they were Talmidim of Shammai. The Talmidim of Shammai did not let them leave. So as when Nimnu v'Rabu, or Nimnu v'Gamru, when they would be counted, as well as Talmidim of Shammai, and thereby the Talmidim of Shammai win the day. Hence, as the Mishnah describes, Nimnu v'Rabu, the Gzeros were accepted. Either way, whether we accept the Chassam Sofer's explanation of the significance of the sword, clearly, for some reason, a sword was put down. The Gemara describes that day as a bad day. Chassam Sofer explains that it's like the day of the Egel, because just like Aaron's advice was not heeded and his direction was not heeded, so too the Hillel, the Nasi, his direction was not heeded. The Talmidim of Hillel were afraid for some reason of being weak, according to Chassam Sofer, and ultimately, when the tally was made, there were some of Talmidim of Hillel that were convinced of the Gzeiros of Shammai, hence the Nimnu v'Rabnu. Back to this particular Gzeira, the Gemara asks, what is the rationale behind it? My time. What is the reason that habotzer legas, the halacha is that it's machshir lekabel tuma?
Amar Rabbi Zeira, Amar Rabbi Chanina, gzera shamiv tzerenu bekufos tmeos. We're afraid that the fellow is going to harvest the grapes in kalim that are tame. In such a case, if it's done in kalim, are machshiv the mashke, makes the mashke significant, and therefore the kalim, which are tame, are machshir as well as mitame. That would not apply to a normal gas, but if people are going to see that you were able to harvest grapes and not worry about tumah, they'll end up mamish being mitame in a case of yivtzerenu bekupos tmeos. Asks the Gemara, Hanich leman damer kli tame choshev mashkin shapir. El leman damer ain kli tame choshev mashkin ma'ika lememar. The assumption of the teretz was that the moment mashke falls into a kli, doesn't matter what the individual is thinking, automatically it's considered choshev. That kli tame is choshev mashkin. However, there are man damerim, at least the Gemara alleges, that disagree. Incidentally, Rashi says he's not sure where this machlokus is. But either way, where does the assumption come from that automatically it's choshuv just because it's in a kli? And for that reason, the Gemara abandons its pshat. Rather, Ziri modifies our pshat. Elo amar Ziri amar b'chanin gzera shem yivtzerenu b'kufos mezufos. Mezufos refers to pitch. In other words, a box, a vessel that has been lined because the individual wants to make sure that he's not going to lose any of the wine. In an instance where an individual clearly shows that he wants the wine by lining his keli, so then in such a case, he's machshiv the mashke, and then it'll be hochshir lekabel tuma. Rav Amar, gzera mishum Hanoshchos. Rava suggests that it is because of the mashke that comes out, Rashi explains, when one separates grapes that are attached. And inevitably, mashke comes out. And for sure, the mashke will come out when you separate them. So then, since it is inevitable, then that shows that that mashke is choshuv, in the sense that it's considered leratzom. And the Hagdara of Kiyutan means that if you want it. See, he wanted it to come out. The Amar of Nachman, Amar Rabba Baravua, Palm Shadam Holech Lekarma Leida, in Migyu Hanovel B'tzira Olo. There are times that people go into their vineyards to check if their grapes have reached the time of harvesting or not. Vinotel Eshkol Hanovel L'Sochto, and he takes a cluster of grapes to squeeze. Umezalef Al Gabe Anovin. And the mashke that comes out of it sprinkles on the other grapes. Ubishas bitzira, and at the time of harvest, adayin mashke tofeach aleihem. That liquid that had come out originally are still out of them, on them. And since that liquid is still on them, and the liquid that had come out was biratzon, because it had come out when the individual was taking off the first set of grapes, so then that machshir will be machshir that second set of grapes to be mekabel tuma. Coming to Amid Beis, the Gemara continues another one of the Yudches Gzeris. V'idach Amar Tevi Rishba. Tevi, who was a hunter. Rishba means to spread out nets. Amar Shmuel said in the new name of Shmuel, Af Gidule Truma Bo Bayom Gazru. They said that even the offshoots of Truma, in other words, if Truma is grown, it's considered Truma. That was one of the Xeros that took place in the attic of Hananya. My time, why is it that if you plant Truma, even if, Rashi explains, the seed is entirely gone, for example, says Rashi, wheat and legumes, in such a case, the Mishnah in Trumas, in Perek Tes, Mishnah Hey, tells us that technically the Truma is Mutter. The Mishnah over there also spells out that something that doesn't entirely, its source does not get destroyed, Zaro She'eino Kala,
in such a case is considered truma. But that's what Rashi emphasized over here. If it's zaro kala in such a case, it's 100% mutter min haTorah. Yet they made a gzera. What's the reason for the gzera? My time, Rabbi Chanina, gzera mishum truma tahira biyad Yisrael. We're afraid that if we're going to allow gedule truma, so then in such a case, people will begin to be mafresh truma, but not give it to the Kohen, but rather just simply plant it. No problem. They were matir the tevel, and they just never got the mitzvah of giving it to the Kohen. Now, they can't use it for themselves and eat it directly. They would if they could, but what they could do is get rid of any remnants of Isser for them by planting it, because if it's zaro shekala, then its gidul is permissible. Because that, Chazal said, even zaro kala midrabanan, it's asr. Amar Rava, Rava rejects this. Idech hashidi lahach, if we're afraid about this, afrushe nami lo lifreshu, then in such a case, why would they be mafresh in the first place? Rava explains, l'shitasa Rashi says, according to Shmuel, that the halacha is that one tiny piece of the entire produce, one wheat kernel out of millions of wheat kernels, min haTorah, is enough for hafrasha. So that's all he had to do, was take a tiny amount. The fact that he took more and now he's worried about losing significant amount of produce shows us that he's not a choshut. We should believe him too. If he could have wanted to get out of things, he would have gotten out of things by only taking off one piece of wheat. Ella rather says the Gemara, gzer mishum truma tmeya biyad kohen. It's a gzera that we're afraid that the kohen is going to hold on to truma that he gets, that's tame, to attempt to replant it instead of burning it. Dilma mashal gabei, he's going to hold on to it. Vasal de kala, when you leave Isser around, chas v'chalila, one could be nichsha. The Gemara now continues with another one of the Yud Ches Gzeiros. Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Ami Mishmei De'ula, back to Maseches Shabbos. Af mi sheichshech lo baderech, if someone got stuck on the way, and the night is coming, and Shabbos is coming, of course he cannot carry his wallet, instead of Al Pi Dinei Torah being able to carry his wallet, Pachos Pachos Mi Dalet Almas, we made a Gzeira, you have to give it to a Gentile as opposed to relying on the heter of Pachos Pachos Midalat Amos. Finally, the Gemara now records the last of the Yud Ches Gzeros, at least according to Mo's opinions, this is the last. V'idach, Amar Bali Amar Avimi San Vasa. Avimi, who was from San Vasa, was called net front by Bali. Pisan V'shimnon V'yeinon Ubnosehen. When it comes to the bread of a Gentile, the oil, the wine, as well as their daughters, Kulon Miyud Ches Davar. Rashi points out that the notion that their daughters are Aser Tas is an Iser Daraisa, is not part of the Gzer, Los Eschatim Bam, and that's what the Gemara in Avodah Zarah asks. The source of this is a mission of Avodah Zarah, Alamed Heim Abeis, and fundamentally, and simply, Chazal prohibited eating these things from a Gentile, lest one comes to marry their daughters, or one's children marrying their daughters. Rashi explains that this is one gzeira. Let's take a look at that Rashi, because that Rashi is important. Not only will that Rashi be important in Pshat and Ari Gemara, but will be important even in Halacha L'maisa as well. Rashi says, Kula miyud ches dvarim hein, v'kula chadehi. This is all one zera. The Gazral Pitan, they said you're not allowed to eat a Gentile's bread, Mishum Shimnon, because of the wine. Val Shimnon, and because of the oil, Val Shimnon, and because of the oil, the Gemara later on will tell you, Mishum Yeinam, because it resembles wine, and then, if one drinks wine with them, then you will come to marry their daughters. The Gemara will flesh this out a little bit more in a moment, the Isser of Pasakum and Stam Yeyan. Coming back here, the Gemara says, Kulan miyunches davarhein. This now we have is the last of the 18. Hanichal Rabbi Meir. That makes sense according to Rabbi Meir. Which Rabbi Meir is the Gemara talking about? We're going back to Tezayin Amabez. We had seen that Rabbi Meir learns that what was accepted lahalach is the gzera of Shammai, that even if one doesn't intend to catch Mayim Sheuvin, nevertheless, we made a gzera. So that, plus the other 17 that we've listed up until now, equals 18. Take a look at Rashi Dibra Maschil Hanicha, where he actually adds up all of the 18 that we've learned in the last few days. Ella le Rabbi Yossi, but Rabbi Yossi, who disagrees with Meir, who says that the Shiva of Hillel never accepted this gzera of Shammai, that even if you left out the utensil to catch the rainwater, on the Gemara on Tezayin Amabez that said the Rabbi Yossi says Adayin b'machluk kasan heinomdim, there still is a machlokis, then you've only got 17. Shivasri havin, you only have 17. The Gemara answers Ika ha derav acha bar ada. We could divide two gzeros when it comes to pas, shemen, and yayin, and because there are two gezeros, so then, in such a case, we have a sum total of 18. According to Rav Acha bar Ada, the way the Gemara understands it right now, in the name of Rabbi Yitzchak, there are going to be two gezeros. Gazra al pita mishum shmena, there was one gezera of pas, atu, shemen, val shmenam mishum yenam. And Shemen was also because of Yayin. There are two different gezeros. Ask the Mara, Alpita Mishum Shmeinon. The gezera first was of Shemen, and then they made Pas also because of Atu Shemen. May Ume, the Shemen mi Pas. What's the difference between Shemen Pas? So the Gemara says that's not the two gezeros. That there was once an Isser of Shemen, and then they were Gozer, a new gezera of Pas. Ella, rather, says the Gemara, a totally new pshat. Gozru al pitan vishmenam mishum yenam. It's one big zera. There was this sort of pasah shemen atu yayin. Val yayinam mishum benosein. And yayin was also, this is all part of the one zera, because of coming in contact with the daughters. Val benosein mishum dover acher. This is one big zera. If you're going to get to know their daughters, you're going to come to serve their avodah zara. And then, val dover acher mishum dover acher. And they were also gozer on something else, because of Davar Acher. The Gemara will immediately explain what are these Davar Achers. But ultimately, again, the pshat that the Gemara goes with is that we actually have one long gezera, but we introduce one last gezera of Davar Acher. Amar Menachem Bar Yitzchak, my Davar Acher, Amar Menachem Bar Yitzchak, Gozru al Tinuk Nachri Shemitami Beziva. There was a gezer midrabanan, that if you come in contact with a Gentile child, that he has a din of a Zav. Why? We were scared that their corruption would affect Jewish children. That a Jewish child shouldn't be next to him and then come, chas v'chalila, to Mishkav Zachar. So these are the two new gzeris that we have to introduce, according to Rabbi Yossi. Number one, are all the gzeres and avodah zarah, which is one gzera, and that Tinuk Nachri has a din of Zav. Asks the Gemara, what are we going to do according to Rabbi Meir? According to Rabbi Yossi, now you've got 18. But these two gzeres, which is a Mishnah in avodah zarah, gives us now 19. Iachler Meir Nami, Chisri Havi. You have 19, answers the Gemara, Ochlam et Kelim Shinitimu Mashkin, we spoke all the way in the beginning of the sugya on Yudalid about eating and utensils. When I say eating here, I mean food and utensils that become tummy through mashkin. And when it was originally quoted, we spoke about ochlin shnitbu mashkin and kelim shnitbu mashkin. According to Rebbe Meir, since they're the same halacha, bechadachashavlu is considered one, and 17 plus one is going to equal 18, and we're not going to count Ochlam and Kalim as 2, which would be 17 plus 2 is 19, but rather is 18. So finally, the Gemara has concluded with the last two gzeros, and that is the Mishnah in Avodah Zarah, Lam and Heim Abeis, the gzeros of Pas, Yayin, Shemen, etc., is all one gzera atu Avodah Zarah, and then we have the gzera of a Tinok Yisrael, not allowed to come in contact with a Tinok Nachri, and a Tinok Nachri has a din of a Zav. Bezer Hashem Yisbarech. This concludes the Yud Ches Gzeres. It concludes our Limud on Daf Yud Zayin of the Gemara Rashi. Bezer Hashem, we now go to the Halacha section. Bezer Hashem, our Halacha topic from Daf Yud Zayin is the status of Pas Akum Bizman Hazeh. If one learns the last Gzera that appears of the Yud Ches Gzeros in Masechet Shabbos on Yud Zayin Amud Beis, as well as learning the Mishnah that elaborates on the last of the Yud Ches Gzeros that includes Pasakum in Avodah Zarah Lamed Hei Amud Beis, one would get a different impression than the Halacha Lemaisa and then the approach of the Rishonim as well. Our Gemara says that Pas, Shemen, Yayin were all prohibited because we did not want us to socialize with Gentile women, which would even lead to Avodah Zarah, as well as, of course, the Yisr of Los Ischatein Bam, of intermarriage. Just an editorial comment. Chazal B'Chachmasan understood already 2,000 years ago the challenges that would exist today in the great country, the United States of America, and for that matter, in all of Chutz Laretz, of maintaining our Jewish identity amongst our Gentile neighbors when they were benevolent and friendly and offered us the best system of government that the world has ever seen. And Chazal gave us these gedarim. It seems, from reading the Mishnah, that Pas Akum is entirely Asur. And that's how it seems from our sugya. However, it's important to note that the halacha is much more complicated and much more nuanced. And the reason for that is because of a statement in the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Alamed Hei Amud Beis, where the Gemara says that we have instances of Talmidei Chachamim, of Tanoim, that seemed to be lenient in Pas Akum. And it leads to the Gemara to say there were some Tanoim who actually held that even though the Mishnah in Avodah Zarah only raises the possibility that the Gzera was repealed in regards to Shemen, that it could very well be that the Gzera of Pas never took off in all places. Gemara records that Rebbe, in certain instances, was not worried about Pas Akum. Tosfos in Avodah Zarah Lamed Hei Amud Beis gives two potential explanations. One is based on our Masechet Shabbos, not in our Gemara, but in the other Talmud, in the Yerushalmi. That the Yerushalmi suggests that could very well be that just like Shemen, the Mishnah in Avodah Zarah says was repealed, so too it could be when it comes to Pas that was repealed. However, the Halacha seems to take the first suggestion in Tosas, in Avodah Zarah, and that's what we're going to run with, because that's what the Shulchan Aruch runs with, and that is that Chazal have a very important rule, which is, Ein gozrim gzeira elim ala tzibur, elim kein rov hatzibur, yicholun lamod ba. And the Gemara in Avodah Zarah Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph uses it in the context of these gzeiros, and Tosas suggests that it could very well be that this was a gzeira she'ein hatzibu yachol lamod ba, to prohibit all types of Pas Akum. And this is clearly reflected in the Halacha Lemaisa as well. It's found in the Rishonim. We will see it the way it's summarized in the Shulchan Aruch. In Simin Kuf Yud Beis, the Mechaber starts off with the Yisur. Atzru chachom lechol pashal amim of the chavim mishum chasnus. There's a prohibition because of chasnus. The Shach adds that even if you know for sure, you're not going to come to marry their children because it was baked by a priest, nevertheless, it's a low plug and it's usher across the board. The priest doesn't have children, it doesn't make a difference. The Shach does not say it's because he'll engage you in theological discussion, but rather it's a low plug. In Siv Beis, the Mechaber comes along and says, Yesh mekomo shemekilim bedavar velochim pas minachtam hove kochavim bemakom she'en sham nachtom Yisrael mipnei she'ishas hatchak. This is the important and critical heter for Pas Akum according to most Rishonim. And that is as we had mentioned according to Tosos, the Gzeira did not take effect entirely because in certain instances it was a Gzeira Shein Hatzibu Yachol Amod Ba. For that reason, the Mechaber brings down that there were many places that had the custom to buy from a Gentile baker because there wasn't a Jewish baker. According to this approach of the Mechaber, what happened was Klal Yisrael only accept the Gzeira in a limited scope where it was something Shat Sibur Yachol Lamod Bo. It's for this reason the Mechaber goes on to say that this only applies when it comes to a bakery. If there's no bakery of a Jew and there's only a bakery of a Gentile, so then in such case we could be Meikel. However, he concludes, if it's bread cooked in the house of a Gentile, then in such a case, to say Ein HaTzibur Yachol Lamod Ba on going specifically to a Gentile's house, even if there happens not to be bread at that particular time, it would be Asur. Where the draw the line becomes a fascinating discussion in the tour of what is considered you really need it, and that is that the Torah brings down some Rishonim who say only someone who has to fast for 3 days. Some say it means literally fast, or most understand it means that you don't have bread for 3 days. So then in such a case, that's called Ein Palter Yisrael Matzui, and then one could rely on this heter. Should be noted that in Shulchan Aruch there is a more lenient position, and that is we have a Yesh Omrim. The Yesh Omrim, in the name of the Mordechai, Da'afilu b'makom shepas Yisrael matzui shori. Even where Pas Yisrael is available, it's permissible. This is not quoted in the name of a Hagav or Ramah, but it's in Rashi print. And the Shach, Paskins like this, its source is a Mardechi. According to the Mardechi, he understands the Rishonim that preceded him as saying that the Minog, or more precisely, the Gzeira, was not Nispashate in all places. Period. Not that it was not nispashed in some places because it was Gzeir Shein HaTzibur Yachol Lamod Ba. The Mardechi is different than Tosos because he understands that there were certain places it was not nispashed at all. To the point that the Shach even goes so far as to say, according to this position, maybe it would even be permissible to eat bread that was baked in a Gentile's house. According to this approach, to bring it back to our daf, Yud Zayin Amebeis in Masechah Shabbos, when our Gemara says that Pas was made Asur, the Mordechai says that it didn't spread to most of Tfutzas Yisrael. Our great Rebbe Rav Nevenzahl Shlita, in his Sefer B'Yitzchak Ikari, in his Aros to Mishnah Brura in Chelek Beis, I believe it's in Simen Kuf Samaches, it's not with me right now, it's in Yeshiva, quotes his great Rebbe, Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach Zatzal, who seemed to follow the first opinion of the Shulchan Aruch, not the Yesh Omrim that's brought down in Rashi print, because he writes the following. He says, for those of us who are zochet to live in Eretz Yisrael, and Jewish bread is available, in such a case, it's hard to imagine that Pas Palter would be acceptable from a goy, considering Rav Nevenzahl adds that some Rishonim say that you have to mamish fast from bread in order to be able to eat Pas Palter. So Rav Shlomo Zalman went with the first Havana, according to Tosos, and that is, it's a Gzer Shein Tzabu Yachol Lamod Ba, where it's very difficult to access the bread, then it's going to be permissible. Otherwise, it could very well be that Pas Palter would not be acceptable. It's also important to note that the Mechaber in Sifhei broadens this heter. It definitely doesn't seem to be consistent with what we had mentioned from the Rosh about people fasting, but nevertheless, the Mechaber writes the following. Yesh omrim, shemi sheyesh biyado pas, o sheyesh palter Yisrael, v'yesh palter akum, o se pas yofa mimenu, if a Gentile makes better bread, or he makes a different type, whole wheat, so then in such a case, it's permissible to be kona from the pas palter. This was something that was common once upon a time, where whole wheat bread was hard to get from Jewish bakeries. Now it's not as difficult. So then, even if one does not go with the Mardechi, in such a case, it would still be considered a gzeira sheinei tzibur yochel lamabo if it's a better quality. Therefore, if a person lives in a place, it would seem, according to this Yesh Omrim, where they do not have a certain quality of bread from a Jewish baker, and let's say their family brings them pas palter, which is of better quality, according to Yesh Omrim, it would be mutter. I leave off as a question, according to our tradition from Shlomo Zalman Orbach, who seems to be going, especially the way Rav Nevensal presented it, about the heter being really only if someone needs to fast, whether that this halacha would apply. Presumably, if we're talking about whole wheat bread, and a person is not supposed to eat regular bread, then that would apply, because then they would fast from the bread. But what happens if they like a little bit this pas akum better, this pas palter better? It could be that, according to Rav Shlomo Zalman, we would not have the heter. On the other hand, according to the Mechaber's Yesh Omrim, Yesh al milismoch, and one therefore has the Mardechi as well as the Yesh Omrim in Siv Zayin in such a case, which is a tour in the name of the Rajba. Bottom line is, not everything is as it seems when one reads a Gemara. Divrei Torah aniyim b'makom echad v'ashirim b'makom acher. If one knows simply the Tanaitic teachings, one would have thought Pas Akum, Pas Palter is entirely prohibited. There is, however, a hint in the Gemara that there were Tanoim that were Mekel. The Gemara in no way indicates that we paskin that way. However, Tosfos says that this is the rationale why even in the time of Tosfos, they were Mekel. And according to Tosfos, it seems to be because of Gzeir Shein Atzibu Yochel Amabo. Tosfos does quote the Yerushalmi that says it could be the whole Takana of Pas Akum was repealed. And finally, the opinion of the Mordechai, it could be in certain lands, it was never accepted in the first place, even going back to the original Takana. Hence, one doesn't even need a difficulty to find a heter. In Shulchan Aruch, we have both opinions. Simple reading of Shulchan Aruch is that one needs a difficulty to find the heter, but the Mechaber is Mekel that says that even a better brand is also called a difficulty. We questioned, according to the position of Rav Shlomo Zalman, where he, and particularly Rav Nevensal, in extending Rav Shlomo Zalman, quoted those Rishonim who say that the heter is only if you need to fast, whether a better brand would be enough of a tzorech, where we would say, gzeir shein atzibur yachol lamod ba, and the heter applies to him as well. This Bezer Hashem concludes Daf Yud Zayin's halacha topic for today.